The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The smell in the studio has significantly improved, and I'm not speaking about our next guest, but something that he managed to bring with him. Tom Durkin of Durkin's Meats in Cork's English Market. You're very welcome to the programme, sir. How are you?
Very good, Jonathan. Thank you for having me.
It's lovely to be in your company. Anyone who ever brings food to a studio instantly goes up in my estimation. And I'm going to do the thing now that you should never do on radio, which is I'm going to eat. Tell the good listeners what I'm having here.
You're having my spice beef, which was cured for 4 or 5 days and rolled in spice and put down for another 2 months before it was even cooked.
It takes that long, does it?
It does. You could make it overnight, but it's not the real, as you can see from tasting that, that's the real McCoy.
Now, a lot of people, as I speak with my mouth full, and I apologise to my mother because I told her I'd never do that, but a lot of people associate it with Christmas. It was always a kind of a Christmas thing in Cork, wasn't it?
Yes, it was always a Christmas. It's the taste of Christmas every day now, the way we're producing it. But originally, the Old English Market in Cork was where the English gentry used to shop and the Irish used to shop in the Colquay. And as times change, everyone started shopping in the market. The Colquay is kind of gone now. And at Christmas, affluent people were able to afford spiced beef. But now, everyone can afford spiced beef.
Yeah.
The way the world has changed. The Old English Market in Cork would be synonymous with spiced beef, and it was always a Christmas thing, and I decided to cook, slice it and put it in packets and sell it throughout the year, and that's working.
And I mean, to anyone who hasn't had the pleasure of a bit of spiced beef, what is unique about it is the fact it has that that covering, if we could put it that way,
yeah,
that seeps in. The colour of it, though, is always what strikes me, because I'm going to say the word now, it's the wrong word. It looks raw, but it's not raw. So how does that come about?
That's the saltpeter in it.
Right.
It gives it that colour. It's the same as bacon. With bacon colour, you use saltpeter in cures.
And it just, as I said, I'm chewing into it now. It makes a big difference that you're able to do that. Now, in my house, every Christmas, I make bags of it by boiling it and then turning out the water and all that kind of stuff. Is there boiling involved?
It's very simple to cook. You take it out of a packet, put it into a pot, cover it in cold water, bring it to the boil. Depending on the size of it, you decide how long to cook it. It's 40 minutes a kilo. And take it off the heat and leave it go cold in that water. And don't be throwing off the water.
Does having 4 or 5 glasses of wine before you start that process impede it?
With you, probably, yes.
More than likely, it does.
I can manage the 4 glasses.
But the other thing about this is it's spread far outside of Cork now as well. You can get this pretty much around the country, can't you?
That's for sale in SuperValu nationwide.
Yeah.
And other countries, as well, like we export an awful lot of it. What I find very funny is the Dublin people coming down here. Pensioners come down on the free train in November, December, get a lump of spiced beef for themselves, a lump of spiced beef for the son, daughter, the neighbour. It's mad what they do. They come down, spend the day in Cork, come into me, buy their spiced beef. I keep it for them until 4 o'clock in the evening or whenever they're getting their train. And they go off with 6 or 7 lumps of it for 6 or 7 people in Dublin.
What part of the cow do you use? Is there a particular part?
It is the cut is called the eye of the round. It's called a false fillet. It's called a Jewish fillet. There's loads of different names. The eye of the round would be the most common name of it. It is from by the hip in the back leg.
Right, okay.
And there's 2 pieces there, about 3, 3.5 kilos each in each animal.
But there's lovely marbling in it as well, isn't there? I mean, you can really see that coming.
I chase cattle
through
with a bit of fat.
Yeah. They've had a good life.
They've
to
had
the
a
point
good life.
They get to you.
And they were nicely finished.
You have got a bit of an anniversary coming up this year, do you?
Next March, it'll be 40 years since I started this crack.
That's a long time. And was it always in the English Market?
No, I was originally in the Douglas Road. And a couple of years later, I moved into the English Market. Ran 2 shops for a while, became a bit much. So I switched back to 1 shop in the English Market. And it's been good to me. It's been hard work. Nearly time for me to get out the other side. Trying my best, but not so. My retirement plan wasn't great.
What I'll say is that the people who travel down from train on the train at Christmas won't let you retire, by the sounds of it. They'll demand that it's there. How has the industry changed in that 40 years? I mean, I would imagine immeasurably from what you started out in.
I started with a butcher's block, a bandsaw, a knife and some meat and a cold room. Now, technology has taken over. Like, there's 2 computers behind my counter inside the Old English Market. I never thought I'd have to use a computer when I started. The whole thing has changed. Regulations have changed for the better in most cases. Now, there's the odd regulation that's a bit over the top, but things, there's nothing like the way we used to operate 40 years ago.
Do you miss that, though? I mean, you've got, do you still have young people who'll come in and say, Tom, I'd love to be a butcher?
No.
Does that worry you?
It does. I think it's across the board. Anything that is labour intensive, be it a plumber, a butcher, a carpenter, there's no one going into those trades anymore. It's across, like you see in building sites, they can't get people either. Mechanics are gone. Plumbers are impossible to get to. This generation doesn't want to do physical work, basically.
And it's messy work in your case as well,
isn't it? Yeah, it's not that. It's not as messy as it was years ago. Like, it's a lot tidier. Like, we're not bringing in animals on your back anymore. They're cut up coming in, and it's not as hard as it used to be. Where we can get, we say, if we need 1,000 T-bones in the morning, we can get 1,000 T-bones.
Right.
You know? Versus years ago, you wouldn't be able to because you only had 3 cattle, so there was only going to be, whatever, 15, 20 T-bones in each animal. But the whole thing has changed now that everyone is next day delivery.
Have we lost a connection with where the food is coming from, though? Because when I was young, and I'm mentioning my age for the second time in the programme, which means I'm definitely old, you know, you would have seen carcasses hanging up inside the English Market, using the natural cold of the place. And I knew then, well, that's what a chicken looks like, or that's what half a cow looks like, that's what a pheasant looks like, which is the kind of thing you might see in the market. Oh, that's gone now. So is it very anodyne how we're producing our food?
We have environmental health officers who are adamant that we don't hang meat up at room temperature, as in the shop. They want it in the cold room. Like, my mincer's in the cold room, everything's in the cold room. The legislation around selling food has got tighter and tighter and tighter. So hanging your pheasants and hanging your beef off the rails in the shop isn't exactly what the environmental health officers want anymore. So you've got to obey the rules.
I'm sure the rule is there for a good reason, but isn't it a pity, though?
Because it is a pity. Because the best part of Christmas years ago was all the turkeys hanging around the place.
Yeah.
But no, if a health inspector came in and found a turkey hanging outside the cold room, they'd... Yeah, you'd words with you.
Yeah, you'd know all about it. How many butchers are left in the English Market at this point?
There are 4 red meat butchers left in the Old English Market in Cork, down from about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And a lot of the butchers on the side of the road have disappeared as well. I think those 4 butchers are the only 4 butchers in the city centre now.
And what hope do you think there is for the trade, the industry that you've gotten your career out of?
It's very good because butchers tend to do better quality meats than supermarkets or other places. So if someone wants something really good, they go to a butcher that's well recognised and known for the quality.
Yeah.
That's how my business survives. We're known for quality, good produce, and people will travel to get it.
Do you still have people coming in asking your advice on how I should cook this bit or that bit?
I'm saying it in my sleep at Christmas. Take it out of the bag, put it into a pot, bring it to the boil, 40 minutes a kilo, and take it out.
Still,
take it off, and it's
still coming out here on Christmas
Day.
You
could be saying that in your sleep at Christmas. You say it so many times and people come in, I can't remember last year how we cooked it. Can you tell me? And it's the exact same thing. But people only cook it once a year.
Yeah.
A lot of people. You know, people buy packets and cook throughout the year, but they only cook it once a year and they tend to forget how to cook it.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to cook it for me because there's a fine selection in front of you. You're not getting this back, by
the
way. That's coming home with me.
There's plenty more where that came from.
Tom Durkin, Durkin's Meats. You'll find it, as Tom said, in super values right around the country and indeed his own produce as well on the market stall. Tom, pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Jonathan.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.